Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now, there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
As Thanksgiving and the holidays arrive, while the year comes to a close, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations of 2023 on the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We have a great interview here for you in this segment and the next couple of segments. We're going to be taking a deep dive with Eric Bland. Who is Eric Bland? Well, if you've been following the Alec Murtaugh saga, you already know. He's the one who kind of cracked the egg open on all of this. He's a malpractice lawyer who helped bring Murtaugh's misdeeds into the national spotlight, representing the family of Gloria Satterfield, as well as other families who accused Murtaugh of stealing settlement money that they received while Murtaugh represented them and won settlements in those cases. He's the one who really got this ball rolling into, well, he's doing all this over here. Is it really that far of a stretch to think he might be doing some stuff over there? It's going to be a fascinating conversation. We're going to talk about everything from the trial to the future of Murtaugh to basically everything. We got in total about an hour conversation that we're going to be sharing with you here with Eric Bland and myself. Eric, let's just start with how this crooked, crazy story, this crooked, crazy case of Alec Murtaugh.
Well, I mean, it's been a career of suing lawyers and dealing with legal ethics issues in the state of South Carolina. I started doing legal malpractice cases in 1994, but really hit my stride with my partner, Ronnie Richter, in 2000. We got a pretty big seven-figure settlement against one of the larger firms. And then over the course of the next 5 years, the same firm kept making mistakes, and we got a $5.5 million jury verdict against them, and then another deep seven-figure settlement against the same firm involving some patent cases, patent malpractice cases. So it kind of put us on the map. Mm-hmm. And then we became super lawyers in our state for professional malpractice. My partner and I were the only ones. And over the course of 20 years, I made a good friendship with Mark Tinsley, who represents Mallory Beach's family in the Bowdoin case. And he knew that I do legal malpractice. And the Satterfields started consulting with him probably, I think it would have been in early 2022. There have been a couple articles written by my co-host of our podcast, Cup of Justice, Mandy Matney, when she was a journalist. She found one of the only documents in the court about the Satterfield settlements. Yeah. Gloria Satterfield, the former housekeeper and nanny for the Murtaugh children and some of the Murtaugh family members, for $500,000. And so they went to Mark Tinsley just to ask some questions about, you know, how come we haven't heard anything? Does this mean that there's money? And Tinsley told him, look, you're going to have to get a lawyer that sues lawyers. I don't do that. And, you know, I'm pretty close to the Murtaughs. Plus, I'm in the middle of the throes of this Mallory Beach case. And so they went back and they were reticent about coming forward because of the power of the Murtaughs and due to the family relationships that they had with them, to basically accuse Alex of, you know, not accounting for any settlement monies.
Yeah.
And it was only after the Labor Day shooting and the law firm going public that he had stolen money from them that they came back to Mark Tinsley. And so he called me on September 8th of 2021 and said, hey, would you be interested in getting involved in this Murdaugh mess? And, you know, I was reading about it. And of course, I wanted to get involved in it. You know, you could tell it was going to be a pretty notorious case with the fact that, you know, you had the boating accident, you had the murders on June 7th of 2021.
Yeah.
You had, you know, the lingering Stephen Smith questions. There just were so many different tentacles to this family that, yeah, sure, have them call me. And so originally only the one brother called me, who is a vulnerable adult. I got a call from his aunt, who's Gloria Satterfield's sister, Ginger Hadwin.
Uh-huh.
And so I signed up him, and Tony Satterfield, who actually testified at trial, didn't want to go forward. They're extremely religious people.
Okay.
And so they're non-judgmental. And they just refused to believe that Alex would do this to them because of the close relationship that Gloria had with the family.
Yeah.
So I'm not a guy that likes to write Hallmark cards when I'm going to send a letter to a lawyer that may have done something wrong. But in this case, you know, I just didn't expect that there would be a lawyer that would take all of the settlement money. I've had lawyers skim money. I've had lawyers charge too much for expenses.
Yeah.
And, you know, charge a 40% fee when the fee agreement said 33 1/3%, and or overbilling situations by the hour. But I've just never had an outright, I'm stealing every dime from you.
Sure.
And so I wrote a very benign letter to Corey Fleming, who was the actual lawyer that Alex had referred them to bring this friendly claim against him. And I said, look, there's probably a misunderstanding. The money's probably in an escrow account, or, you know, it's in trust somewhere. Just let me know where the money is so I could, you know, give this information to the clients. And it was crickets. I heard nothing back, Tony. And so the 2 days later, I wrote a very more pointed letter that basically said, you got 3 hours to tell me what's going on, or I'm going to notify the bar and I'm going to institute a lawsuit, which I did.
Yeah.
And that gave me subpoena power. And once I had subpoena power, then I started sending out subpoenas to all the different attorneys that I knew who were involved for their files and the insurance companies. And lo and behold, within a week, I found out that it was actually $4.3 million that they stole. And during that week, Tony Satterfield came on board and said, okay, now I want to become part of this. So that's how it happened. And the way I broke this wide open was I had really good relationships with the newspapers and television newscasters from a prior police shooting case I had. So I immediately started going to the papers and TV and, you know, imploring SLED and the attorney general to bring criminal charges because it, you know, I have these three checks that went to this fake forge account that Alex set up where he stole $3.5 million of the $4.3 million. And after about 10 days of beating up SLED on TV and in the papers, on September 27th, they announced that they were opening an investigation into the death of Gloria Satterfield and a criminal investigation into her the theft of her settlement monies, wrongful death settlement proceeds. And then within a couple weeks, they brought charges before a grand jury, and then it was off to the races. And so with opening up the Gloria Satterfield case, it gave other victims the courage to either start asking questions or asking for their files from the old PMPD law firm.
Yeah.
And then, so I picked up six victims of theft, and then a couple victims who had really good cases that Alex just let their statute of limitations expire. And that's how, you know, this whole thing got started. So unless, you know, I didn't get retained in the Satterfield matter, there's a high likelihood that there really wasn't going to be a lot of people coming forward for financial crimes.
The question is, why was Alex stealing all of this money and where was it going? Obviously, you know, he didn't live a super flamboyant lifestyle with, you know, gold, you know, toilets or something like that. But where, I mean, obviously he couldn't have been spending all of this on drugs. He'd be dead unless there's something deeper going on there. What's your thoughts on that, where the money actually has been going to?
Well, I mean, if you look at Alex, you know, he's a 90-10 guy. 90% of the time, he's a great father, probably a decent husband, a good friend, a good law partner. But the 10% of the time, like Judge Newman declared in the sentencing, he's a monster. Yeah. And I've been calling him a modern-day monster for 2 years now because I really do understand him. I've dug that deep. Yeah. So if you look at his actual income, he had monster years from like 2009 to 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. He was making, you know, big settlements, eight-figure settlements. So he was making about anywhere from 4 to 6 million legitimately.
Yeah.
And then when you have these big cases, he was skimming, you know, 20% off the top or 30%. So he was really making big buck. In 2016 to 2021, there was a significant dip in his real income, his real law firm income.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting the big cases. So not only was he losing the real income, without those big cases, he was losing the ability to skim. So now we have him losing income in two different places, which explains in 2018 when Gloria Satterfield died, why he immediately saw this as an opportunity to enrich himself and why he stole the, you know, 3.5 of the 4.3 million. So that you go to, well, where did the money go? He's not a drug addict. He's a drug user. No question about it. He's a drug user, but sure. A drug addict, he's not. He couldn't have functioned on that much opioids. That's just impossible. I've talked to too many pharmacologists who said that, you know, there would have been automobile accidents. He would have been falling asleep in court. He would have missed meetings. His partners would have seen this, you know, lethargy from all the opioid effects. So, no. And also, they said that excessive use doesn't create the manic behavior that he talked about. That doesn't happen with that kind of opioid use. And he would have to basically be taking over 333 pills a day at 15 milligrams a pill, which could kill 10 elephants. So
yeah,
we think a couple things happened. We think he was probably in the distribution business with Cousin Eddie and some others, or there was a lot of hands grabbing at his money. So if Eddie, $2.2 million was laundered through Cousin Eddie from 2018 to 2022, $2.2 million worth of checks.
Yeah.
In Alex's account were written to Eddie that Eddie cashed, and we don't know what he did, but maybe there was a lot of hands grabbing from that money before it got to the people that sold the drugs. But we think that Alex was into distribution. He also was a land baron. All the people who work for PMPD, the big partners, Parker, Ball, Crosby, Lee Cope, they're monster landowners, 4,000, 3,000, 5,000 acres. And Alex had a lot of acreage and was also in partnerships with other partners that owned tremendous amounts of land. The FBI obviously is looking into where the money went. They've had a lot of feelers out. You know, they have confidential informants all over the state, but, you know, they have not been able to locate a lot of that money, whether it was cash and buried, whether he took it down to the Keys or, you know, in his multiple trips to St. Martin's and St. Croix. We just don't know where the money all went to. We got a receiver appointed to marshal all his assets, and John Lay has recovered probably, he's the receiver, a couple $1 million, but certainly not the $8 million or $10 million that he stole from clients.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
There is still much more to come with attorney Eric Bland as we discuss the inner workings of the trial of Alec Murdaugh and the many, many pending charges against him at this moment. We're going to talk about Gloria Satterfield next. We're going to talk about the criminal charges as well as the civil charges. And the criminal area, I'm really curious about, because I'm wondering, does that involve some sort of combination of Paul or Maggie being involved in her death in some way, shape, or form? We're going to get Eric's insight into that in our next segment. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. We got it coming for you in just a bit here on the feed. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.